Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome, awesome. You haven't lost it. Awesome. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, my name is Corey Johnson. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelterock Church, and we're so thrilled to have you worshiping with us on this Sunday morning. For those of you who know what happened at the beginning of the summer, I just want to give you some updates. And so, So at the beginning of summer, we were thinking, our family was planning on leaving because of, I'm what they call a bivocational servant or member. I work full-time in corporate America, and at the same time, I work as part of the church. But my work demands changed over the course of the year, and as such, it has caused some imbalance in our household. And so we thought that the best thing to do was to move closer to work because of the commute. So we packed our bags, we packed our boxes and everything like that. We put the house on the market, all getting ready to go. We spoke to the real estate agent. They said the house would be sold in less than 30 days, so you have nothing to worry about, Corey. You'll be out of here. And we thought we were going to be out of here. 3 months later, going several renovations of the house, we've decided to take the house off the market, and we've decided to stay put until God tells us otherwise. Amen. Oh Lord. Okay, I'll leave that alone. So for some of you who've been wondering, how do I pray for Pastor Corey? You know, we want him to go, but we want him to stay. You can say that God has answered your prayers, okay? the reality is that, you know, me and Monica, we've gotten to a certain stage in our life where we live our life by a disclaimer. We make plans, but it's subject to change. That's how we live our lives. Amen? Because we understand that our lives, it doesn't belong to us. We're vessels. We're just members. We're just part of God's, what God is doing here. And, you know, we've decided that, you know, God is not through with us being here yet. And so until he tells us otherwise, the best thing to do is to stay put. Amen? Amen. And so that's what we're doing. So over the past several weeks and months, we've taken some time off to just reevaluate some things and reposition some things. But not only that, but we've started to unbox some of those boxes. And we're putting up pictures again, putting up books again. And so we're staying put. Amen. Amen. So thank you so much for your prayers. It's really been helpful through this journey. Amen. With that said, let's talk about Jonah. if this is your first time to Shelter Rock Church, it's a very good time to be here because we've started this new series called Reluctant Prophet and a Relentless God. And over the next several weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to unpack the book of Jonah. It's a very short book. We're going to unpack the book of Jonah. But my task here this morning is to introduce Jonah to you. Is that all right? That's my task, and I'm going to stick to my task. Over the next several weeks, you're going to hear some eloquent speakers talking about what does it mean to run away from God? What does it look like when a prophet run away from God, right? What does it look like when a prophet is running with God or when a person is running with God, right? And finally, what does it look like, what does life look like when you run ahead of God? All right? So we're not going to unpack all of that today, but over the next several weeks. So I encourage you to read through the book of Jonah and come back and hear what God has to say to us. Now, let me ask you a question. Whenever you hear the book of Jonah, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Talk back to me. The whale or the fish, right? So, and automatically, and that's always the danger when it comes to some of these Bible stories and Bible books, is that we are so familiar with the big themes of the book that automatically that's where our mind goes to, and we forget everything else that's in the book. But this book is not about a fish. It's not a fish story. Amen? It's about a God who is merciful, a God who is just, and a God who relentlessly goes after people. Amen?
Amen.
And does whatever he needs to do to save them and to bring them into a relationship with him. That's what the book of Jonah is about. Amen? But this morning I want to introduce you to a reluctant prophet. And we're going to see what God has to say to us today. Could you bow your heads with me? Father, it's with a heart of humility and gratitude that we approach your throne of grace. Father God, we're here for no other reason but to glorify and to exalt your name. We're here to lift you on high. We're here to praise you. We're here to honor who you are. So God, as we come this morning from different backgrounds, different experiences, different conditioning, different economic status, God, I ask that you'll speak to this diverse body this morning. Speak to us collectively, but above all, God, speak to us on a personal and a very individual way, because there's something in your word for all of us here this morning. I ask, oh God, that you'll speak through me, God. I'm only a vessel, but let your words come through me, God, and speak to your people and bring them into a closer relationship with you. I ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles handy, turn with me to Jonah chapter 1. We're going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 3. I wish Pastor Henry had given me a lengthier text. But just as we're introducing Jonah, I'm fine with that. So turn with me to Jonah chapter 1. It's going to be on the screen. The Bible says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord." As we think about this story this morning and this text this morning, what I want to talk to you first about is and let you realize is that here that Jonah is a prophet. Jonah is a
prophet.
All right, somebody's getting it. Jonah is a
prophet.
Awesome, great. And in verse 1 it says, because he's a prophet, the word, it says here, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. What? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now, let me tell you something about a prophet and who a prophet is. A prophet is, and whenever we typically think of prophets, we always think of their predictive ability, their ability to forecast the future. They're able to foretell what God is going to do in our lives and in a region or in a nation. And more often than not, we tend to run to prophets, especially if we understand that somebody has a gift of prophecy. We tend to run to them to say, hey, what's God going to do in our lives? But can I tell you, that's just one aspect of what a prophet does? If you really look throughout the book, throughout the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, you'll see where the prophet is more or less a person who you could consider to be a police officer. He's the one who issues warning and tells the nation, hey, you're breaking God's law, you're breaking God's law. And guess what? If you continue breaking God's law, there are consequences. And more often than not, he's beckoning, he's appealing to the people, turn back to God to avoid the consequences that is coming. And sometimes when the people are disobedient, God uses the prophet to bring out the judgment against the people. We don't typically think of a prophet in that role, but the prophet was the law keeper. He was the law bearer. He was the one to issue warnings when people have deviated away from God. Amen? With that said, there's a certain attitude then that a prophet has. He's not concerned with people's opinion of him. You have to be that type of person. His allegiance is so much towards God and completely dedicated to God that he has no regard for his own life. His life is no longer his. His life belongs to God. And whatever God tells him to do, he does so boldly, courageously, without any regard for himself. Yes. Right? Because that's a prophet. See, if a prophet is worried about what people say, he's not going to speak God's word. If he's worried about his life, he's going to be scared to go in certain places. But if you read the Old Testament, they were courageous, bold people who sometimes suffered because of the word that came through their mouth, but nonetheless, they trusted God. Amen? And so when I look at Jonah, who is a prophet, to me, Jonah represents a contradiction. He represents a contradiction. Because he receives a word, he's supposed to deliver a word, but yet he backs away from it. A contradiction. And so what I'm going to do this morning is that we're going to unpack this a little bit and try to understand if we can glean anything from the word of God this morning. So Jonah is a prophet. Being that he's a prophet, one of the first things we realize is that he is an instrument of God's grace. He is what?
An grace.
He's an instrument of God's grace. Right? The fact that God is going to speak through him and talk to him and give him a message for the people suggests then that judgment is coming, and God being gracious in who he is and God being merciful in who he is issues a warning before he brings judgment. That is an act of grace. He just doesn't come and slap you upside the head without giving you a warning. Hello? Reminds me of my child. Let me leave that. You know when you're a kid and you were doing something and mama and daddy does. It's like, what? That's not the type of God we serve. Amen? He warns us. He warns us. He warns us. And if we don't listen, then comes the consequence. Amen? He's gracious. He's gracious. And Jonah is the instrument of God's grace. So, Jonah is an instrument of God's grace, but do you understand that you, as a child of God, you are also an instrument of God's grace? Look at what Ephesians 4 says. It says here, but to each one of us, say that again, what?
Each one of us.
Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave some as what? And some as?
Prophets.
And some as?
Evangelists.
And some as?
Pastors, teachers.
Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we what? All attain to the unity of faith. In other words, the gifts that we have amongst us, it's to build us the body up so much so that all of us, it's like we're moving to one goal, we're moving to one destination, we're moving to one aim, and that aim, that goal, that purpose is so that all of us can come to the same idea, concept, and believe about the faith that we have. Do you see? But the thing is, he says, but to each one of us, meaning you have a gift, you have a talent that is going to also help to build up the body so that we all attain to the unity of faith. Not only the pastors, not only the preachers, not only the prophets, not only the evangelists, but all of us have a gift. In other words, when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, when you surrendered your life to him, he gave you a gift. He gave you a package wrapped up. And he says, this is the gift that I have for you. Share it with the body of Christ. Build up the body of Christ with that gift. But the reality is that many of us, we have not unwrapped our gifts yet. And we're still struggling. We're saying, God, what is my gift? God, what is my purpose? And God is saying, when you unwrap your gift, you will find out what your purpose is. Man, that is good right there. Have you unwrapped your gift yet? Some of us, we're gifted in music and we can, man, you know, you heard the singers this morning, praise and worship. Man, I couldn't sing a tune if I wanted to, but that's what they're gifted in. And they're using that to build us up and to bring us to the unity of faith. Some of us, we're skilled with the children as we pour into their lives, we're building them up and they're growing into the unity of faith. Some of us, as we usher, man, people are coming in from all different circumstances. They might have just argued with their husband or their wives just before they saw you, and because you have a smile on their face, man, they just look at things differently. They come into the presence of the Lord and they begin to worship God. Guess what? You're bringing them into the unity of faith. Each one of us, we have a gift. Have you unwrapped your gift yet? When Jonah heard the word of the Lord, that was his indication that, listen, I have a gift of prophecy. He heard the word of the Lord. Might I suggest to you that if you're struggling with identifying what your gift is, might I suggest to you that a good place to start is the word of God? Yeah. That's how I got started. When I recommitted my heart to the Lord, man, he gave me an insatiable appetite for his word. I mean, I was just marking things up, and as I begin to read the word and begin to meditate in on, I started to see principles and ideas, and it just popped off the page. And I'm like, God, what is going on here? I'm not supposed to be a preacher. My brother is supposed to be a preacher, because he was the one who would stand on a box and preach to empty chairs. He's a preacher now, by the way. But as it was coming off the page, and God opened up the opportunity for me to teach one Wednesday night Bible study, and that's how I got started. But it was as I was pouring over the word of God, there were just things that was just coming out of the word that made sense for the first time. And as I exercised in that gift, somebody realized, oh, pastor, oh, you have a gift of teaching. Let me give you an opportunity. And that's how it started. Might I suggest to you spending time in the Word of God, and he will show you what your gift is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's continue. Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. What's interesting about this verse is that if you understand anything about the people of Nineveh, they were really the enemy of Israel. They were part of the Assyrian Empire, and at some point in history, Nineveh became the capital of the Assyrian Empire. But they were really the enemy of God. And what God did here was to use a Jewish man, a Jewish prophet, and he was going to send him to his enemies. Why? Because God saw what was going on in their lives, and he was concerned about them. He was going to bring judgment, but before he brought judgment, he wanted to warn them. What's interesting here is that God notices the activities of even people who are his enemies. You see, some of us here, we are children of God. And we're going through certain things, we're going through certain trials, we're going through certain situations, and we're wondering, God, do you notice me? May I tell you that God is intimately aware of what you're going through? If he's aware of what his enemies are going through, guess what? He is sure enough aware of what his children are going through. And sometimes he will bring somebody alongside you. Sometimes he'll bring a word just in that moment to comfort you and to reassure you and to let you know that even though you're going through a storm right now, everything is going to be all right. Amen. Everything is going to be all right. I did it before and I will do it
again.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah. See, it was a simple message. You know, when I was in college, man, I can really say that. You know, years are added on. When I was in college and you had to, you know, when you were in an English class and you had to write, you know, 5-page, 20-page papers, you always had to have your introduction, your 3 paragraphs or your 5, and your supporting arguments and a conclusion and everything like that. No, here, Jonah got a simple message. It wasn't a dissertation, it wasn't a paper, it wasn't a long article. No, it was just a simple message: go and preach against Nineveh. That's it. There's some things I realize about this message. Number one, it was missional in its purpose. It says go. Go. Right? It's God sending Jonah to a foreign place. It's missional. And if you look at the, you know, we just came out of the series, This Is Us. Right? The church is a missional church. We send people out. Sometimes it's to your local community, but sometimes it's international. Number two, the message that God had for Jonah, it was multinational in its scope. If you looked at where Israel was and where Palestine was, right, he had to cross over borders to get into the Assyrian Empire. It was multinational in its scope, but it was also urgent in its mood. This wasn't a message that you could sit on. This wasn't a message that you could let, you could just relax and just, you know, go about your daily business and you're just bringing it slow, nice and easy. No, there was some urgency about this message. Arise, go and preach against the city. Now, you would think that a prophet who receives such a word would receive it with open arms and go without hesitation to accomplish the purposes that God has for him. But this wasn't Jonah. Even though Jonah was an instrument of God's grace, you realize that Jonah was a flawed messenger. Flawed. Flawed. And so I'm thinking, you know what, if God can use Jonah, then God can surely use me. do you see what I'm saying? In other words, there's nothing that you can do, behave so badly, behave so sinfully, that God can't use you. You're never so far from God's grace. Amen? Hello, somebody. Because sometimes, you know, we look back over our lives and we're like, God, I did this, I did that, and I also did, how is it that I'm qualified to do this? God is saying that, listen, I can use you irrespective of your past. Amen. I can use you irrespective of your history. Amen, somebody. Yes. Let's look at what Jonah did. I laugh at Jonah because I'm like, you heard from God in an audible way. You heard from God in an audible way. What are you doing, Jonah? Let's look at what he did. But Jonah, the Bible says, ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Somebody say Tarshish 5 times. Tarshish. I'm just kidding. Ran away from the Lord. And I'm saying to myself, Jonah, what are you thinking? You can't run away from God's presence. He's everywhere. But what Jonah was trying to do, you see, sometimes the place that we got the word of God, or we get the message of God, we believe that that's only the place that God is. You know, and that's why sometimes we believe that the only place that we can find God is in the church, because that's where we hear his word. And we believe that the only time we can feel God's presence is when we get to church. But no, you can't contain God in these four walls. God is everywhere. So at any time of your life that you're going through something and you need to call on him, you need to experience his presence, just call on his name. He's right there with you. As we look at the text, turn to the next slide, because this is interesting. Point A is where Jonah is right now. And his destination was B. The distance between Palestine and Nineveh at the time was about 500 miles. It's about 500 miles. The distance where he wanted to go to Tarshish is 2,500 miles. I'm saying to myself, Jordan, what are you thinking? You see, instead of him trying to fulfill his purpose, he tried to flee away from what God was calling him to do. And that's why I said that he represents a contradiction. Because more often than not, you'll tend to hear about a false prophet. You hardly hear about a disobedient prophet. Because the word, they want to issue the word. Can be false, but they're issuing the word. And so the question is here, why did Jonah flee? Why did Jonah want to run away from God? If you understand anything about the Ninevites or the Assyrian Empire, they were really a vicious set of people. I mean, they came to Israel at one point and they ravished their country. And so the first thing is that you think that Jonah wants to run away from the Ninevites because he feared his life. You know, he's going to get killed, and so out of fear, he wants to run away. But that's not the case, because as we said before, a prophet has no regard for his own life. The Bible tells us about a prophet, Nathan. You remember him? King David, when he committed adultery, and then he murdered a man to try to cover it up. Little old Nathan went up to King David and said, King, David could have killed him. Hello? He was the king. But one thing about Nathan is that he was bold. He had no regard for his life. God sent him a message, and he was going to deliver the message irrespective of the consequences. A prophet didn't have any regard for his life. So it could not have been fear of his life that caused him to run. Could it have been fear of failure? You know, sometimes we don't want to do things because we believe we're going to fail, yes? But no, if God sends you on a mission, it's going to be successful. Amen? So what is it? It's something deeper. And I think what it is that Jonah thought he had a monopoly on God's mercy. And therefore, instead of bringing a message of grace, a message of deliverance to a people, he said, listen, you deserve what is coming to you. And therefore, I'm not going to tell you what God wants you to know. He thought he had a monopoly on God's grace. He saw the people, he saw the Ninevites as enemies of God. He saw the Ninevites as enemies of Israel. And because of what they did, he believed that you deserve what is coming to you. You don't deserve God's grace. And instead of running to them, he'd rather run away from them as far west as possible. He paid his fear. He got on the boat, he got in the boat, and they were going about to take off because he wanted to have nothing to do with these people. Have you ever been there? Somebody hurt you so much that you believe, you've convinced yourself that they don't deserve God's mercy. Oh yeah, sometimes it's the boss, isn't it? Ouch. Oh yeah, he didn't give you the promotion or he overlooked you. Yeah, okay, the boss is too far. Sometimes it's the husband or the wife, isn't it? Oh, don't look at the person next to you, please. I want you to go home in one piece. Right? The reality is, here is the enemy of God, that God is going to send a messenger to bring about mercy and grace. But sometimes it's not our enemies that we have angst with. Sometimes it's the people that's closest to us. Our children, our parents, our mothers, our fathers. Amen? And so as I look at this text this morning, and I introduce it to Jonah, one of the first things that we learn from Jonah's response is this, that number one, our lack of mercy can hinder God's work in our lives. When you believe that a person is so far gone that they don't deserve God's mercy, you have claimed a monopoly on God's grace. In other words, you say, I deserve his grace, but that person don't. that will hinder God's work in your life. Second thing I learned is this, that sacrifice is essential to God's purpose being accomplished through us. Pastor, what do you mean by sacrifice? Sacrifice is going to cost you something. Sometimes you're going to have to give up the right to get even so that God's purposes can be accomplished. Hello, somebody. Sometimes you're going to have to walk away from something or walk away from someone so that God's purposes can be accomplished. Hello, somebody. Jonah was not willing to sacrifice his notion of what justice is. So he ran. He ran away. As we think about this message this morning, as I said to you, my job this morning is just to introduce Jonah to you. As I said to you, this is not a fish story. This is about a God who pursues people who are his enemies, and he gives them his grace. He gives them his, he showers them with his grace. He showers them with his mercies. But lest you think that Jonah's story is prehistoric, may I suggest to you that as you fast forward into the New Testament, that there was not, Jonah was one prophet, but another prophet came, and that prophet was Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1, the Bible tells us that Jesus shows up on the scene after John was taken into custody, and the Bible says that he was preaching the gospel of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That was the same message that was given to Jonah, and it was the same message that was given to Jesus Christ. But you see, lest you think that the Ninevites were the only enemies of God, but guess what? We too were enemies of God. Because the Bible tells us that we were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquities. And because of that, we are enemies of God. But Jesus didn't run away from his purpose. He ran towards it. And we see what it cost him. It cost him his life. It cost him ridicule. It cost him shame. All to benefit you and me. Amen? The point of all this is this. God's mercy is available to all who will turn to him through Jesus Christ. Everyone, not somebody who looks like you or talks like you or has the same money as you, every and anyone who turns to him through Jesus Christ. And so as I ask the praise team to come up this morning, the question is, are you running away from God? Is there something that needs to be resolved in your heart, in your mind this morning as it relates to your relationship with somebody else? Is there a situation in which you believe that, listen, that person does not deserve God's grace? If that person doesn't deserve his grace, guess what? I don't either. So God is calling us to a higher state of living, to a higher state of being, where we look at people the way God sees them. Amen? Amen? Amen. With that said, could you please stand? Where are you on the spectrum of this mercy and sacrifice? Where are you? Do you claim to have a monopoly on God's mercy so that others they don't deserve God? Or are you willing to make a sacrifice? Bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. Thank you for speaking to us and for showing us, God, that your mercy, your grace, it's beyond walls, it's beyond borders, it's beyond countries, it's beyond culture. It's for everyone. And so, God, if there's someone here this morning, God, who does not know you, I pray, God, that you will pursue them relentlessly. That you will go after them, God, until they surrender to you. And for those of us here this morning, oh God, that name, the name of Jesus Christ, that have surrendered our heart and our lives to you this morning, but somehow there's something going on the inside. There's a thought, there's an idea that is contradictory. I pray, God, that you'll take that out, God, and replace it with your love, replace it with your grace, replace it with your mercy. Thank you for what you're about to do in us and through us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. The church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated.